This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Today is your lucky day. The champ uploaded a new video and you found it. I'm joking. It's your lucky day because IslamNet is establishing a mega masjid and dawah center, and you have a unique opportunity to be part of that. So click the link below and donate now.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? I'm here in the center that you guys have funded. Yes, you guys have funded it, mashallah, the IslamNet Center. And I'm here with Sheikh Zishan. How are you doing, Sheikh Zishan?
Assalamu alaikum, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
I want to introduce you to the people because, wallahi, I was very, very impressed with this man. I met him, mashallah. He spent 10 years in combination in both Egypt and Medina. He's done his BA there and in Sharia. And yes, he's also completed an MA in Usul al-Fiqh. In fact, he was studying Safiuddin al-Hindi, wasn't it?
Yeah, my thesis, my risala was about Safiuddin al-Hindi, his book Nihayat al-Usul fi Diyarat al-Usul.
Fantastic. And now he's doing his PhD on Usul al-Fiqh as well. And what I found really interesting is that when I was having niqash and discussion with this particular sheikh, he was, first of all, so brilliant in terms of, I'm not just doing this to you, you know, sorry, I was overpraising everybody, but in terms of using something called Maktaba Shamila, which is this research tool. And a mas'ala came up, which we're going to speak about today, which is the mas'ala of hitting in the face. Now, this is usually the thing that is used. If you look at fatwas, for example, on boxing and on MMA, which has become one of the most oft asked questions I get, which is a fiqhi question, of course. And I usually say, you know, there's fatwas out there, but I can't do istara fatawa. That's not really my remit. That I get asked about MMA and boxing and these kinds of things. And the whole thing hinges on one hadith. And there's different ways of it, of course. But the hadith is, إِذَا قَاتَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ فَلْيَلْتَقِي الْوَجْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ أَدَمَ عَلَى صُورَتِي أَوْ إِذَا ضَرَبَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ فَلْيَلْتَقِي الْوَجْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ أَدَمَ عَلَى صُورَتِي فَلْيَشْتَنِي بِالْوَجْهِ. It's another way, right?
No, yeah.
So this hadith is effectively saying, if one of you engages in fighting with his brother, then let him avoid the face, or let him not hit the face, because Allah has created Adam on his image, and most scholars say on Adam's image. Now, this is the hadith. It's in Bukhari, it's in other collections as well. And if you see any of the fatwas relating to MMA or boxing or kickboxing or Muay Thai or any of the
strikers, they all rely on this hadith.
They kind of all rely on this hadith. Yeah, yeah. So we did a bit of research. I mean, let's be honest, you did a bit of research.
No. Let us be honest. You made me do a little bit of research. And then you came to me time after time. Like, I think you've been up for a few days now. You come to me like 10 times.
Yes.
Did you check it out? Did you find anything? Did you find any more quotes?
But we did find quotes, though, didn't we? Yes, because the thing is, the box standard idea is this, is that there is ijma. That's what I've seen on Islam QA and Islam, web and these kind of things. There is ijma that darbul wajh, or hitting the face, itlaqan, is haram in any situation, Muslim, no Muslim, nadb, there's no nadb, there's no karaha, it's ijma. But would you say that's an accurate assessment of the scholarly tradition?
First of all, bismillah, I started researching this mas'ala actually before you came, while I was in Medina.
Really?
Because I started doing, I wanted to do some martial arts myself. I'm getting, subhanAllah, by being there, I was feeling like my health is declining and stuff like that. Being there, just eating the fast and all this. And so I started doing some stuff myself, alhamdulillah. So I was interested in finding this thing out because I knew about the hadith.
Let's walk
a little bit.
Hukum. Let's walk into it, come.
I knew about the hukum mentioned in all the fatawa, the contemporary fatawa that you find online, you find on the internet.
Yes.
So I took this hadith, I started researching this hadith.
Yeah.
I went through many, many explanations, shuruhat of this hadith. Yeah. More than 100, maybe even 200. Allahu
A'lam. Wow, wow.
To see what the classical scholars actually mention.
Yeah.
And if it is actually the case that there is an ijma, meaning an
ijma.
Agreement.
Yeah, what is
agreement,
ijma?
Agreement of
consensus,
the Muslim scholars.
Everybody.
Consensus,
yeah.
Exactly. About this hadith. Or if there might be room to interpret this in certain specific contexts, or if there are some exceptions on this and that.
Because
because
I was going to say, like, I mean, you'll see heavyweights, there's no doubt about it. People like An-Nawawi, people like Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, Al-Baydawi and others, they do believe that hitting in the face is haram. They do believe
Qurtubi as well,
Al-Qurtubi and others, they do actually take this to mean in all cases, in all times. But what did you find which was contrary?
Yeah, so
to
you
that?
Definitely have that opinion, and this is what is crucial.
Yes.
When we as academics, and that's what we are, we're Muslim academics,
yes,
we need to approach these kind of masail first and foremost in an academic manner.
Sure.
Meaning, this is not about tarjih, meaning about preferring one opinion over the other, or declaring one opinion to be strong or correct or wrong or anything
We're
like
not
this.
Trying to do any of that.
We're just analyzing, yeah. Right? And we need to be honest and approach
Let it hang.
The
let all the opinions hang. And then let the scholars decide in which situation this should be applicable and whatever.
Yeah.
MashaAllah, you're still here. Just make sure that you donate by clicking the link below, because the rewards are unimaginable.
Go ahead.
So what you do find is that some of the scholars,
yeah.
Like As-Sana'ani, for example,
sure.
He did mention that this hadith is in the context of striking, yani this hadith, إِذَ قَاتَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَجْتَمِنْ Yeah, the revival from Sahih Muslim that said, that says, إِذَ قَاتَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ فَلْيَجْتَنِبَ الْوَجْهِ This is applicable if you are fighting a non-Muslim. Meaning, sorry, the opposite.
A Muslim.
Yeah, a Muslim. Meaning, it does not apply if you're fighting a Muslim.
A non-Muslim.
Non-Muslim. Mm-hmm. SubhanAllah, I'm flipping up the words back and forth.
Because he's saying, well, أَخَاهُ here, brother, is brother in faith. He's not saying brother in humanity.
Yeah, and that's the other opinion.
Yes.
So the other scholars, they did say, this is referring to brother in humanity.
Yes.
But that's not the only opinion, mm-hmm. right? So this other opinion, As-Sana'ani and others, and some other scholars as well, is that this means brother in faith. Yes. Meaning, if you're finding someone who's not a brother in faith,
yes.
then it does not apply.
Okay, right? Can we actually bring those opinions out? Because someone's going to say, you have misunderstood what As-Sana'ani says. If you go and look at, you know, this particular call of As-Sana'ani, he's talking clearly, As-Sana'ani alaykum, brother, he's talking clearly, he's getting excited because he sees a tramp. That's something else. That's no problem. That's a very natural reaction. Let's walk a little bit, maybe he, yeah?
The tramp is going too late.
But I was going to say that, he's going to say, look, he's talking about in the context of war, for example. He's not talking about, not in the context.
So a lot of these quotes are in the context of war, that's true. Yeah. But at the same time, I didn't find any other scholars, maybe like one or two, and even that was unclear, of which you could understand that this is restricted to the context of warfare.
So let's read, you had many,
so when the scholars have talked about this hadith, they talked about context, such as warfare, definitely,
sure.
such as punishments like ta'zir, hudud, even those kinds of contexts,
yeah.
and ta'dib as well,
yes.
and other kinds of contexts.
Ta'dib is what? Is disciplining.
Yeah, and we're not promoting anything like that.
Yeah, sure.
Disciplining people. Like
In fact, the opposite. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, for example, As-Sana'ani, he mentions, وَهَذَا النَّحْيُ عَامٌ لِكُلِّ دَرْبٍ وَلَطْمٍ مِّن تَأْدِيبٍ وَغَيْرِهِ
Okay.
He mentioned the hadith, if one of you are fighting, then basically abstain from hitting the face, right? So he's saying that this, he mentions examples.
But he says, يُشْعَرُ أَنَّهُ لِمُسْلِمُ or something. What does he say? يُشْعَرُ أَنَّهُ When he says, أَخَاهُ يُشْعَرُ أَنَّهُ لِمُسْلِمُ it seems like he's talking about Muslims. When he says, إِذَا ضَرَبَكَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ
Yeah, ما يشعر أنه إذا قاتل كافرا فلا عليه يعتقل وجه. That's what we're referring to.
Yes, so what she's saying, if it's for a kafir, it doesn't apply.
Yeah, right? he says that.
Yes,
so the counter argument someone could possibly make
He's talking about
is
war.
That this is about warfare, specifically.
Sure.
But in his other books, so this was from At-Takbir.
Yeah, sure.
But from his other book, Subul
al-Salam,
he does mention that this, he mentions the hadith, okay?
Yeah.
And then he mentions, وَلَوْ فِي حَدِّ مِنْ الْحُدُودِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ وَلَوْ فِي الْجِهَادِ So he mentioned these examples.
Yeah.
And then he mentions also, هَذَا النَّحْوَ هَذَا النَّحْيُ عَامٌ لِكُلِّ دَرْبٍ As he mentioned.
Yeah.
It's arm, it's general
yeah.
to every kind of hitting. وَلَطْمِ مِنْ تَعْدِيبٍ وَغَيْرِهِ Even if it's ta'dib or غَيْرِهِ of jihad or of fighting, warfare, anything.
So the same the same generalities and the same exceptionalities would apply.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So
someone's going to say, with all due respect, the Sana'ani is not a madhhabi. Yes, let's just look
frank.
He doesn't represent a madhhab. He's a wild card in the scholarly tradition. Why don't you bring us someone from the madhhab? Have you got anyone from the madhhab?
Yeah, you have scholars from the madhhab as well.
Yes.
As-Sana'ani, you can say, he was like that, kind of special in that kind of a sense, you being Yemeni and this and that, right?
Fine.
So, for example, you have Al-Qurani. Al-Qurani in front of me.
He's a Hanafi, right?
Yeah, Hanafi scholar.
Sure.
Hanafi scholar. So he was basically criticizing this idea because, you know, some of the scholars in the past, which is quite interesting, they did say that this prohibition of striking in the face, they said that this applies even in warfare. Okay.
Yes.
Which is kind of difficult to understand.
Because Allah says in the Quran, فَضْرِبُوا فَوْقَ الْعَنَاقِ وَضْرِبُوا مِنْهُمْ كُلَّ بَنَانٍ
Exactly.
Above the head, above the neck, sorry.
Yeah. So they said this.
Yes.
Because Allah created Adam in His image, and this is so it's in general applying to absolutely everything.
Uh-huh.
So this is one understanding.
Yeah.
So According to Al Quran, he said, وَهَذَا غَلَطٌ فَاحِدٌ. He said, that's a huge mistake. Uh-huh. He does not agree with this opinion at all. Yeah. And then he has played some statements.
Because that would mean that you can't hit the guys. You can't hit in military warfare, you can't hit his face. Yeah. That's what that opinion would suggest.
Yeah, that's exactly what that opinion is.
Yeah.
That even in warfare, you cannot hit the face.
Yeah.
Pause the video for a sec. You thought I'd forget about you. When you're finished with the video, make sure you click the link below and put a donation for the masjid.
And then he comes with the ayah that the day that these people will be basically dragged on the faces. Mm. So he's saying that, meaning non-Muslims in this specific case, people who died as non-Muslims and stuff. Mm. So he's saying, وَأَيُّ حُرْمَةٍ لِوَجْهِ الْكَافِرِ And then he said, وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي حَقِّ الْكَافِرِ And he quotes this ayah.
So basically
he's saying, So this means what kind of sanctity is it for this? So, so his opinion.
Yes.
And again, we are just analyzing opinions. Yeah, we're not taking any sides, not doing any tajin, nothing like this. We're just studying classical Islamic literature. Is this guy living now
or was he hundreds of years ago?
Yeah, hundreds of years ago. He died in 893 Hijri, in fact.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so it's a very classical. Okay. Yeah.
Not that classical.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I mean, all right.
It's like, hey, 1445.
Yeah, fine.
So you have more classical people than him.
Yeah, of course.
But the point is, if he's using this kind of an argument,
yes,
that means he's making a general case.
Yes.
He's making a general case that he's saying that this being applicable in the context of warfare is wrong. And then he's using this ayah as well to say that there is no hurma for the wajh of someone who does not believe.
Face. Al-Kawrani, he's an obscure figure, someone will argue.
Yeah,
have you got any of the heavyweights?
Any of the heavyweights, some of them mentioned, for example, that this amr that you have, it's not an amr of wujub.
Amr means command, imperative.
Yeah, command, exactly, imperative, command.
Mm.
So you have awamir, and this is a part of usul al-fiqh, right? When you have an amr, al-amru lil-wujub, lil-nadb, or different kinds of things, right?
Or even ibaha.
So, yeah, even ibaha exists. Mm-hmm. The Prophet ﷺ, he says...
فَإِذَا حَلَلْتُمْ فَاسْطَادُوا يعني in the Quran.
Yeah, exactly.
Amr بعد النهي or whatever.
No. Yeah. You have this thing. Or either the thing of زيارة القبور, مثلا.
Yes.
فَزُورُوهَا.
فَزُورُوهَا, yeah.
كُنتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ فَزُورُوهَا. I used to swear. So you have these kinds of concepts.
Yeah, sure.
So some of them, they did mention that this, the amr in this is not for wujub.
So it's not obligatory.
It's a recommendation.
So if someone does it, hit the face, then according to this view, he's not committing a sin.
Yeah. But still, it's recommended to stay away from
doing
that.
Of course. Who is that? Who says that?
Ibn al-Milk, for example, he mentioned that.
That's a major scholar of the Hanafi madhab, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a scholar from the Hanafi madhab.
I'm going to have to milk that one. Sorry,
milk him,
huh? I'm looking for his gun. Yeah.
Milk is ilm, inshallah. But he doesn't say it's his opinion.
Yes.
But he is portraying it because it's like the only opinion he's mentioning. But he's still saying, وَقِيلَ الْأَمْرِ
لَا. And al-qila usually is daif, it's weak, it's not really the. Because some Hanafis will listen to say it's not the mufta bihi. It's not the mufta
bihi. Yeah, that's true. You need to be honest. You need to be academic. Of course, it's not. This is not the mu'tamad of the madhab, in fact this opinion it is a minority opinion because the vast majority of scholars who talked about this they did mention that this amr is in fact for wujub.
Sure.
And they had long discussions, like Al-Qadi Iyad, for example, he had discussions about this. Al-Nawawi, other scholars, they did have discussions about this. And the reason they had a discussion about this is because of this khilaf, because of this different opinion. That you had scholars who said that it is for...
I thought I saw something from Al-Mullah Ali Qari, bro. Have you got that? Because that's a big figure in the Hanafi madhab, and he's written lots of shuruhat on the hadith, and including this hadith, I think. So, what's his position on this matter?
Again, his position is not quite clear because he says something very similar.
Okay.
He quotes the hadith, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, إذا قاتل أحدكم أي ضارب غيره. You know, meaning if you're fighting with others, if you're hitting others, and
فليلتقي الوجه or فليجتني بالوجه.
Yeah, and then he says afterwards, let me just find a quote again. I flipped the phone, so you know what happened.
Oh God.
You know this auto function. Basically, he says, yeah, so he says the same thing. He says, قيل الأمر للندب.
He says the same thing.
Yeah, لأن ظاهر حال المسلم أن يكون قتاله مع الكفار.
There you have it. So he's giving ta'lil though. He's giving reasoning here, isn't he?
Yeah, he's giving a reasoning.
Yeah.
So. Because the obvious matter, and he's talking about in this example that he's giving, in the context of warfare, is that the Amr is going to be, and sorry, is that it is that he's going to fight not another Muslim, but he's going to fight a non-Muslim.
Sure.
And then what's also interesting is that a lot of these scholars who talked about this, some of them, they also mentioned the incident in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Yes.
That it was another Muslim who was hitting another Muslim. Mm-hmm. And it was in this context that this Amr was. So that's what we need to understand, that this hadith, yes, or all these examples, yes, about this hadith, it's not just about the context of warfare. It's also about, generally speaking,
let's bring in just one more scholar just to make it something else, because you say these are all fringe opinions. Why bring them together? But when you get one more opinion, just to seal the deal here, what we're talking about. Have you got any other names?
You have Abdul Haq Dihlawi as well.
Not Shawli Allah, though.
No, another one. Yeah.
But he's still a bit massive figure, Abdul Haq, Hanafi figure, isn't he?
Yeah, from the later Hanafis.
Yes.
Later Hanafis.
Yes.
Yeah. He's saying قيل الأمر للندب, it's been said that this Amr is for Nadb, right? That is, this is a recommendation.
Yes.
And then he also mentioned this thing that I just talked about.
Yeah.
وقد جاء أن أحدا كان يضرب أخاه على وجهه.
Yes.
فنهاه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك.
Hold on for a second. You still want those incredible rewards, right? So make sure you click the link below and you donate for the Mega Masjid project.
SubhanAllah.
So he mentioned this, that in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was a person, a Muslim, who was hitting another
believer. And you know what's interesting, bro? It's like you were mentioning before we started this this episode, you mentioned something which is actually quite powerful.
There's another opinion also. Should we do that first?
What is the opinion? Yes. The other opinion.
So this is a third opinion. It's very similar to the other one, though.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from another scholar called Atur Bishti.
It's
difficult to pronounce the name.
Yeah.
He's saying فَيُكْرَهُ يَقْصِدَ الْوَجْهَ بِالْضَرْبِ. So he's saying that
it's makruh.
It's basically the opposite of الْأَمْرُ لِلنَّدْبِ. But if you do it, it's not haram, it's makruh, he's saying.
Yeah, and he's a Hanafi as well. This
he's a Hanafi.
So you have a chunk of Hanafis saying things like this. Yeah, now, once again, I know the Hanafis are going to say this, not the Mufti bihi, and we've asked the Mufti, and he's going to say, not the Mu'tamir of the Mu'tamir and so. But in a sense, that's another discussion.
And you have Hanafis, and I respect the Hanafis a lot, even though I'm not Hanafi myself.
Yeah, I really do. I really respect them, yeah.
I do respect the Hanafis.
Yes.
But personally, though, I don't agree with this concept that it's obligatory to follow the Muftabihi or the Al-Qul Al-Mu'tabid of a Madhab.
And that's more of an Usuli discussion that maybe we'll open up another kind of...
But you have both opinions. Yes. They both exist. I respect both opinions.
Yes.
But personally, I don't think that is the... Yeah.
So the thing is, going back to the issue of brotherhood on this idea of being أخاه, يعني إذا ضرب أحدكم أخاه أو إذا قاتل أحدكم أخاه فليلتقي إلى وجه فإن الله خلق آدم على صورته. The word أخاه here, it's seen in other hadiths. Okay. Now, obviously, someone could say وإلى ثمود أخاهم كذا وكذا أخاهم that in the Quran, but that's more very very contextual. Their brothers صالح, their brothers Hud, their brothers whatever. Their brothers, such and such prophets mentioned Surah Hud, for example. But that's, you can see the context is very specific. Their brothers, their country brother. Yani they're living in within. But Ahaka or Ahahu in the third person or second person when the Prophet ﷺ is doing it, it doesn't usually come in the as a non-Muslim.
Yeah, brotherhood in humanity.
Yeah, it's talking about brotherhood in Islam. So for example, I'll give you one example. Dhikrka akhaka lima yakrahu. The bog standard definition that the Prophet ﷺ gave of what is ghiba, what is backbiting. He said, dhikrka akhaka lima yakrahu. Mentioning about your brother, what he doesn't like. So most scholars say that, I mean, and this is a controversial thing to say, but backbiting, where you actually get major sins, doesn't apply with fusaq and it doesn't apply with kufar. It doesn't. That's what the majority of scholars say.
Even Muslims.
Yeah. So if it doesn't apply with fasiqs, Muslims who are known to do certain things, it doesn't apply with disbelievers. That's what, or non-Muslims.
Yeah.
So the hukum of backbiting, you could say, you got some similar phraseology here with the brother in this hadith and the brother in this hadith. So you can see where they're coming from. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You can see
implausible.
You can say like even the zahir. You can say generally speaking.
Yes.
Even though, as I mentioned, this is a khilaf. You have scholars. They said this is brother. It applies to the brotherhood regarding any meaning from Adam alayhi salam, the brotherhood of humanity. This is what this is talking about. So you can't argue in this way as well.
You can't.
But generally speaking, it's true. Like if you take the dhahir,
yes.
If you look at the nusus, the textual evidences of the Sharia, when you have the word
brother
yeah. mentioned there, yeah. or akhahu or akha yeah. or anything like
and it's
this,
unqualified.
Yeah, it is unqualified, but usually it does refer to
the Muslim brother or the Muslim sister. Brother. Yeah,
generally
isn't
speaking,
it?
That is what is the case. Yes,
it's true. So I mean, it makes perfect sense. What I was going to say about this is that look, we're not making a fatwa. Therefore, because the conclusion someone can bring is well, therefore this is that means.
So you're gonna do the thing now, huh?
The conclusion someone can bring is that therefore MMA is halal.
Yeah,
haram,
or even boxing, going into boxing matches or kickboxing, Muay Thai, everything.
And frankly, what to be clear, you're not making a fatwa here on any of that stuff. You're not making tatbiq on that. You're not saying, because let me tell you how it works. I mean, as I'm sure you know, right?
No,
but,
tell me.
No. But frankly, there's gradations of it. So someone can do, for example, sparring in a club. And that sparring in a club, you're not trying to hurt the other person. You can do we call technical sparring.
Yeah, and you will end up hitting the face. You with
hit
the gloves.
No, you hit the face with the gloves, and you can get him back, and it's whatever. But you're not trying to knock him out. You're not.
Exactly,
that would be seen as bad manners in the club. Yeah. If you're doing
and
that.
According to some of the fatawa, this would be haram.
Yeah.
If you take a literalist reading and implementation of this hadith, this would be haram.
Level
because
up.
You're making darb on the face.
You've got the hard sparring. Level up. You've got like inter club fights or whatever. You level up. Mm. You've got amateur fights, and then you have professional fights. Now, all of these things, they're all separate fatwas for separate people in separate circumstances. Some people, bro, they're coming off the streets and they've got a high dopamine energy, yeah? Mm. And let's say they've been told to go and do, and I do believe that freestyle wrestling is probably the best one anyway, right? And it doesn't require any hitting in the face. It's like if you know how to really freestyle wrestling, it's whatever. But they want to feel a little bit of passion. They want to feel a little bit of fear, whatever. Those people, get them off the streets, for example, and into a boxing ring or get them into a kickboxing ring, it may be the lesser of two evils for some people, but that would require fatwa to be passed on that person. He's coming out of a life of crime and gangsters and you tell him you have to do this and that. It might be difficult for him. People are suffering from addictions. So these are outlets, at least we should know as the Muslim community, that there are other opinions on this very hadith. Now the muftis, it's their job now to do the implementation on specific circumstances. Everyone knows their situation best. They go to a mufti, they say this and that.
Calm down. It's just a break. I'm reminding you that when you are finished watching the video, that you click the link below and donate now.
But at least the ulama and the students of knowledge and the muftis should be aware of these akhwal, so that they can start applying the tools of usul if and when necessary and possible. Do you think this is a fair enough assessment?
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you mentioned right now, alhamdulillah. So the thing is, this evidence in of itself is a dalil there, right? But because you have the classical scholars, they did differ in how to apply it back then.
Mm.
So that means that today, if you want to look at all these different kinds of martial arts they have, which involve striking in the face and this and that, it is true that a lot of them, they did use this hadith, right? They based it upon this hadith. But the thing is, this hadith is understood by the classical scholars in different ways. For example, does it apply to the non-Muslims you talked about? Is the command of an obligation, or is it just like a recommendation? So because of this, we're not saying that MMA, for example, if you go into UFC, that's halal. We're not saying that. We're not going to give such a fatwa like this. Mm. Because there might be other reasons, other factors, other things that might, like, for example, the issue of the aura, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You have problems like this. You have other kinds of issues.
Yeah,
well.
Ring girls, so, this and that, alcohol.
Yeah, all these different things. Like, you cannot give a fatwa about this, like, to make something like this is completely halal. But what I'm trying to say is this specific dalil, and then to use this
which
dalil.
Which is, frankly, the only the dalil, like, as a nas, that's used.
Yeah, as a nas, that's what we see. This is you have some similar things also, but this is the main thing. This is the thing, right? Yeah. To say that this in of itself is enough to make all sorts of striking in the face as haram, and to the extent that this is qat'i, to the extent that this is ijma, to the extent that this is agreed upon and this clear cut, this is something I don't think is the case at all. I don't think this applies. Because you have the classical scholars who opened up some room for ijtihad about these specific matters here. So that's what we need to think. So I think basically what I believe is you need to assess each martial arts, even the aspect of striking in the face. It needs to be assessed according to the rules of that specific martial arts, to which extent, if they're going like how brutal, how brutal,
like yeah, for example, harsh going for to example, go. Bare luck on boxing, that might yeah. be like, come on, like, you know, these guys have nothing, you break your wrist on the guys comes out messed
yeah,
up
because
all the time.
At the end of it, they also have the aspect of darar, right?
Yeah,
of harm.
Yeah,
la darar wa la dirar.
Yes,
wa darar yuzal. The qaida fiqhiyya, the Prophet, the hadith of
Prophet, because you can see every time someone does something like that, they're losing a massive part of their health anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
We have to think about CTE exactly. and all this brain damage and all that stuff, which is new technology, which actually is there as well. But then that's what I'm saying. We're just opening the door on this issue because it's every situation is different. And it's thank you so much for this. I think it's been very, very pleasurable. Honestly, I think a lot of people, it's the first time someone of knowledge, I think, has actually spoken about this in this way in the Western world or even in the Arabic speaking world, because it just, I don't think anyone has had the motivation or maybe the courage to mention this difference of opinion. But I'm here with Zeeshan, and Sheikh Zeeshan here works with IslamNet. He's an unbelievable researcher, fantastic. Because he's able to go like a wizard on this Maktab al-Shamil, and he's actually taught me how to use it to some extent, although there's some lessons to be learned, which is a fantastic database, probably the biggest one, would you say, now, the Muslim world, where you can look at all the scholarly opinions. Oh, there's about 10,000 books on there, I think, in general. And we looked at all the books and stuff like that. We were able to bring you this kind of information today. And that's why we always need, as a backbone of our work, people like researchers like Sheikh Zeeshan. And of course, you know what I'm going to do now, isn't it? I'm going to tell you that you're not just investing in bricks and water. You're investing in people and power. When you work, when you invest in the Islamic Dawah, an Islamic Dawah, of course, but the IslamNet project. You've got the link below. When you click that link, you're going to be helping expand this masjid. There's other masjids that we're getting, Awqaf, properties and stuff like that, which then fund this organization. There's the Muslim civil rights arm of this organization, which has been doing the best work here in Scandinavia. We have the Islamic research. We have the Dawah. It's the best bang for your buck. You have to click the link below and donate now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.